Good morning, my fellow branches. You're all a branch. I'm a branch. We're all branches. I'm speaking metaphorically, of course, but I'm going to invite you into that metaphor with me this morning as we study God's Word. We're fortunate to live in a part of the world where we get to see firsthand so many different aspects of God's creation. And this can help us better understand Scripture. We have the mountains, the valleys, the oceans, and we get to experience all four seasons and the various changes that come about as we cycle through those. And here in the Willamette Valley, we're surrounded by agriculture. We have fruit orchards, we have fields of grain with all their sowing and harvesting. And of course, we have vineyards, lots of them. So whether you're a farmer, a gardener, or you're just surrounded by them, I invite you to join me this morning in this agricultural mindset as we look at what it means to abide in Christ. We're going to be looking at John 15 today. And so I invite you to turn there in your Bibles. I will be using the Amplified translation this morning because I've found it to be excellent, at least for me, in helping me grasp all that Jesus is teaching us here. While you're looking up John 15 in your Bibles, I'll just share with you that this message began in May of this year. I didn't know it at the time, and I don't recall everything that I was reading and studying then. But something caused me to just stop and ask Jesus this direct question. Jesus, what exactly do you mean when you say to abide in you? Have any of you ever asked this question or kind of wondered, what does it mean to abide? Yeah. So I began focusing my attention on this, and I've come to learn that abide can mean many different things. I have several different, so abiding can mean, fill in the blank, in my notes. However, as so often seems to be the case with God, I'm gaining a better understanding of what it means as I experience it. So the blessing of understanding what it means to abide has come less from the academic learning and more from the experiencing of it in my day-to-day life. So, as I said, there's many different aspects of abiding that I've learned about, but today we're going to just focus on the abide that Jesus uses in John 15, and we're going to focus on three things in particular. He tells us to abide in him. He tells us we are dependent upon him, and he tells us he will establish us. So feel free to follow along in your Bibles, or if you want, you can look at this photo and just simply listen along to Jesus' words here. Starting at verse 1, we're going to read through verse 11, and then I'm including verse 16. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes, so that it will bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch, and withers and dies, and they gather such branches and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified and honored by this, when you bear much fruit and prove yourselves to be my true disciples. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. Do not doubt my love for you. If you keep my commandments and obey my teaching, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy may be made full and complete and overflowing. And then jump down with me to verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed and placed and purposefully planted you, so that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit will remain and be lasting, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. So let's start off this morning by just quickly reviewing the definition of abide. If you look it up in the English dictionary, you'll find there's many different uses for the word. So too, in the original language, it can have many different meanings or uses. As an example, think of our English word light. The morning light is coming through my window. He used a match to light the candle. The suitcase was light and easy to carry. The car was a light shade of gray. So abide is a word like this that can be used many different ways, and there's different nuances to how it gets used. The Greek word here is meno, and the most common translation is abide, but there's other translations that include remain, dwell, continue, tarry, endure, and there's a few others. The biblical usage is generally to remain or abide in reference to a place, in reference to a time, or in reference to a state or a condition, like remain as one, do not become another, or do not become something different. In this passage, in John 15, the way it's used, you see Jesus saying, remain in me and I in you, and you see the reference to him remaining in the Father and the Father remaining in him. I believe it primarily indicates that third usage, to remain in a state or a condition. So the first teaching I want to focus on here is Jesus talking about abiding in him. Notice that he uses the word in. He says to abide in him, not with him, not near him, not even beside him, but in him. So what does Jesus mean by this? What is the significance of it? Jesus is talking here about a spiritual truth. And spiritual things can be difficult for us to understand sometimes because we live in a physical and a material world. But it's crucial, I think, to understand here that we remember we aren't just flesh and blood, but we also are spirit beings. There are a couple of quick references to this. In John's gospel, you can look back to chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. It says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So Jesus is using a metaphor here, the vine branch metaphor, to help us understand this spiritual concept. Now, I want to talk a minute here about grafting. It's not specifically or explicitly mentioned in the passage, but being in that time and place, it was a very agrarian culture, meaning agriculture, horticulture, things like that. It would be natural for them to be thinking of grafting as part of this whole metaphor. It's very common within the wine industry. It's consistent with the whole context of this passage. You see Jesus talking about the Father being a vine dressing, vine dresser. You see references to pruning, the taking away of the branches. I think Jesus might even be alluding to it in verse 16. And I would just point out that Paul does specifically use a grafting metaphor in Romans 11. So when we think about grafting, what is grafting? It's the joining of two plants so they grow together as one. You can look in John's Gospel in chapter 17 and you see a lot of Jesus and the Father in me, I and you, you and me, we're all in each other. It's you see a lot of references to that through the whole chapter. So in grafting, a wound is created in the vine. Notice the symbolism there. And a branch is inserted into it. And their tissues then grow together so they become one. The branch then receives the nutrients and the water, you might say the things that it needs to live, from the vine. Note also there's some additional symbolism in this metaphor. The branch can be taken from an injured or diseased plant and grafted into a healthy plant. So one aspect of abiding is receiving this spiritual truth. Now, what does that mean in my life? Most of us, as we go through life, have experienced some type of injury. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be the betrayal of a close friend. It could be abuse. It could be financial loss. It could be all sorts of things. We can all probably think of things that we've experienced. And of course, all of us are born with this diseased root system that we call sin. But John's gospel here tells us that to all who receive him and believe, he gives the right to become children of God. This means that we all can be grafted into the true vine and become one with Jesus. As Paul says in Galatians 2, we become a new creation. This is present tense, not something that happens in the future. He begins a work in us immediately. Psalm 147:3 says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. In this way, we have a healthy union. And we will be fruitful, and his joy then gets transferred to us. All we have to do is abide or choose to dwell in this truth. Second teaching I want to focus on is our dependency upon Jesus. Jesus makes it very clear in the passage, we cannot produce fruit on our own. We can do a lot of things, but apart from him, we cannot produce fruit. This is a very simple and yet very profound teaching, and I expect it's all too easily forgotten by many of us. I think we do well when we remember that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, not good results. Now, what I mean by that is not that results aren't important. They, of course, are. But it just seems to me that in life, it's really easy for us to get focused on the results, which, by the way, may or may not actually be fruit. We also easily get focused on plans or strategies to achieve results. Now, fruit is clearly an integral part of this metaphor, but Jesus puts the emphasis on abiding in him first. That is the required, necessary thing. Nothing else matters if we don't start and continue in this. So if we refer back to the passage, we see what eventually happens to branches that are not abiding in the true vine. As I was thinking about this, I thought about in my gardening efforts when I take a cutting of something. Do you know what happens when you take a cutting and you take that branch and you put it in a jar of water? You know what happens? You know what happens, Neil? Roots, who said that? Yeah. Thanks, RJ. You get shoots coming out. Why do you suppose it does that? What's that? Yeah, really good, Don. I don't know if you heard Don. It's desire to live. I thought of it this way, because that's what it's designed to do, to find nutrients to live. It can't do anything else it was designed to do if it dies. We all do the same thing. We're all abiding, or you could say looking for things in life that will sustain our lives. We're abiding in something. You cannot be not be abiding in something. If you're alive, you are abiding or dwelling in something. The only question is what? Here's another thing about that cutting in the jar of water. Even after it puts out those new shoots, if it's left there, it will eventually die because there are no nutrients. As an aside, the water can also run out of water if the gardener forgets to put water in there or refill the jar, but that still makes my point. Jesus knows other things in life are insufficient or they run out and they will not sustain life. He loves us, of course, and wants what's best for us, and he tells us he is the only true vine, the inextinguishable source of life. Note also that while we cannot produce fruit on our own, much fruit is produced in and through us when we remain in this state of dependency upon Jesus. In verse 5, he says, much fruit. In verse 16, he says, fruit that will remain and be lasting. If we go back and we look at that photo and look closer, notice where the fruit is. It's all brought forth through the branches. You don't see any fruit hanging on the vine. Why do you suppose that is? As I thought about that, I was thinking, why would a God, the creator of everything, and having no needs, choose to produce fruit through the branches that are completely incapable on their own? And I can think of a lot of different reasons. There's maybe more sermons there, but the one that I will mention here is it could be the maturing of our understanding in our dependency upon Jesus. And that in itself, by the way, is fruit. So abiding can mean accepting this complete dependency upon Jesus. Now, what does that mean in my life? If we choose to embrace our dependency upon Jesus for everything, paradoxically, there is then this freedom that we receive from that same dependency. We can trust that he will accomplish whatever he plans. A couple of scriptural references here. Psalm 115:3 says, our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. And Isaiah 55, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, making it bring forth and sprout, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose. Friends, it's our privilege and blessing to dwell in this mindset. We can work hard. There's nothing wrong with that. But we can work hard and at the same time have the freedom of not having to take ownership of the results. I would encourage you to embrace this dependency and entrust Jesus with the control. Third thing that I want us to look at this morning. If we refer back to verse 16, notice how in the Amplified translation, it expands on the word appointment. Other translations just have appointment. But in the Amplified version, it expands on that to include placing and planting. I believe this is because in the original language, the word used here, tithemi, for those of you that care, for appointment, it can mean to set something somewhere or to set something like establishing it or fixing it. Whether or not Jesus is referencing the grafting that I mentioned earlier in this verse really doesn't matter. The branch, whether it's an original branch or an engrafted one, has been chosen by Jesus. He chooses us, he places us in him, and he establishes us. Again, let's go back at the photo. Look at the photo there. Notice how large that connection is between the vine and the branch, how large that has grown. That is a strong connection, not easily broken. And it is consistent with one of the definitions of abide that we looked at earlier, which is to remain in a place, which, again, I said there are nuances to the definition. Remain in a place can include to be held or kept in that place. Paul agrees with this when he concludes his letter to the Romans in chapter 16, verse 25. He says, "Now to him who is able to establish and strengthen you in the faith." I would like to read just a couple paragraphs from a book that I was using to study Abide. I've read part of this to you before, but I think it just captures it so well. This is by Andrew Murray. He says, "Is it possible a life of unbroken fellowship with the Savior? It may be for strong Christians, but is it possible for us?" He says, "People don't realize that abiding in Christ is meant for the weak, and it's beautifully suited for their frailty. It's not the doing of some great work on their part, and does not demand that we first lead a holy and devoted life. No, it is simply weakness entrusting itself to a mighty one to be kept. The unfaithful one casting itself on one who is altogether trustworthy and true. Abiding him is not a work that we have to do as the condition for enjoying his salvation and sanctification, but rather a consenting to let him do all for us, in us, and through us. It is a work he does for us as the fruit and the power of his redeeming love. Our part is simply to yield, to trust, and to patiently wait for what he has promised to perform." The idea so many Christians have of grace is this: that their conversion and pardon are God's work, but now, in gratitude to God, it is their work to live as Christians and follow Jesus. There is always the thought of a work that has to be done, and even though they pray for help, still the work is theirs. They fail continually and become hopeless, and their despondency only increases their feelings of helplessness. No, wandering one, as it was Jesus who drew you when he said, "Come," so it is Jesus who keeps you when he says, "Abide." So abiding can mean the entrusting of oneself to be held and be established in our union with Jesus. What does this mean in my life? There's a confidence that comes from knowing that we can trust Jesus to do the work instead of having to rely on our own efforts.
As I was thinking about this, it caused me to think of the various spiritual disciplines that we practice and how we can view them as the means to our spiritual growth. I did this a lot. I thought this a lot younger in my life. If I work hard to develop good habits, if I'm consistent in my Bible reading, if I'm devoted in my prayer time, and so on and so on, then I can grow my faith. These are, of course, all good things. It's good for us to be practicing them. But I'm coming to believe that they are not the means to an end. They are the end. They are fruit. I would just remind us, Jesus knows what he's working with here. We're weak, we're easily distracted, we have limitations. He knows all this, and still he chooses us. He wants to be with us, and he chooses to do his work through us. You can trust that he will establish you. Choose to entrust yourself to this. All right, my fellow branches, I'll just wrap up by reminding us we're all abiding in something. This is a truth of life that applies to everyone, whether you're a follower of Christ or not. I am learning what a tragedy it is if we spend our time on this earth continually chasing after things in search of that certain something that will sustain life. In other words, it gives us purpose. It fills that longing that we have. It heals our wounds. We search and find that we're only disappointed yet again. To those of you who have chosen to follow Jesus, I encourage you to abide in the spiritual truth of what he has done and is doing presently in your life right now. Embrace your dependency upon him and trust him to establish you in him. For those of you here this morning who might still be considering Jesus, I would just encourage you to take stock of your life and consider, can you count on the things of this world to continue to bring you the joy, the peace, and the security that we're all looking for? And so I will just end with this. Remember, we're all branches. We're all connected to something. Consider what that is, and remember, you are choosing what you're connected to. Thank you.